Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Gopi Nana Madhava Giri Bharadhavati. Gopi Nana Balaguba Giri Bharadhavati. Yasoda nandana praja jana randa huna. Yasoda nandana praja jana randa huna. Jamuna tira vanachari. Yamuna te rapanachaldi. Jai hurad umadava kunnabihaldi. Jai hurad Madhuva Kunabi Haruti. Gopi Nana Madhava Giri Bharadhavati. Gopi jana balaba kiri varadhavati. Kiri varadhavati. Yasoda nandana praja jana ranjana. Yasoda nandana braja jano ranjana. Jamuna tira manashali. Yamuna tira manashali. I who rat umadava kunyabi hari. Amaduba. I who rat maduva kunyabi hari. Amaduba. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivadakacharya Forsa Tada Sutashi Shibad. His Divine Grace Abaya Chananana Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Voishna Vrinda Gajai Namacharya Shudhuidas Thakuru Gajai Prem Se Koho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Kijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinathasayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Mathuradam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Srimati Lassi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Om. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Om. All right. So, okay. We got a few people here. Okay. So today, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 20th chapter, text 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nisha Mukeshu Akodyotas Tamasa Vante Na Graha Yata Vapena Pashanda Na Hi Vedaha Kalau Yuge Nishamukeshu Kadyotas Tamasa Pandina Granaha Granaha Graha Yatapa Pena Pashanda Naki Veda Kalo Yuge Nishamukeshu Kodyotas Tamasa Bandina Graha Yatapa Pena Pashanda Nahi Veda Kalo Yuge Nishamukeshu Kodyotas Tamasa bhandina graha Yatapapena pashanda Nahi veda kalau yuge. Okay. All right. Nisha Mukeshu during the moments of evening twilight. Kadyotaha, the glowworms. Tamasa, because of the darkness. Bhante, shine. Na, not. Graha, the planets. Yata, as. Papena, because of sinful activities. Pashandaha, atheistic doctrines. Na, and not. He, certainly. Vedaha, the Vedas. Kalo Yuge, in the age of Kali. Translation, in the evening twilight during the rainy season, the darkness allowed the glowworms, but not the stars, to shine forth. Just as in the age of Kali, the predominance of sinful activities allows atheistic doctrines to overshadow the true knowledge of the Vedas. So you can repeat. In the evening twilight, during the rainy season, the darkness allowed the glowworms, but not the stars, to shine forth. Just as in the age of Kali, the predominance of sinful activities allows atheistic doctrines to overshadow the true knowledge of the Vedas. So, purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada comments as follows. And of course, this is from the Krishna book. During the rainy season in the evening, there are many glowworms visible about the tops of trees, hither and thither. And they glitter just like lights. But the luminaries of the sky, the stars, and the moon are not visible. Similarly, in the age of Kali, persons who are atheists or miscreants become very prominently visible, whereas persons who are actually following the Vedic principles of for spiritual emancipation are practically obscured. This age, Kali Yuga, is compared to the cloudy season of the living entities. In this age, real knowledge is covered by the influence of the material advancement of civilization. The cheap mental speculators, atheists, and manufacturers of so-called religious principles become prominent like the glowworms, whereas persons strictly following the Vedic principles or scriptural injunctions become covered by the clouds of this age. People should learn to take advantage of the actual luminaries of the sky, the sun, moon, and stars, instead of the glowworms' light. Actually, the glowworms cannot give any light in the darkness of night. As clouds sometimes clear, even in the rainy season, and the moon, stars, and sun become visible, so even in this Kali Yuga, there are sometimes advantages. The Vedic movement of Lord Chaitanya, the distribution of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, is understood in this way. People seriously anxious to find real life should take advantage of this movement instead of looking toward the so-called light of mental speculators and atheists. And so you have the commentary of Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. In this verse, Pashanda means Pashanda Shastra. That's interesting. Let me just describe what Pashanda or Pashandi means: someone who is actually an outcast and an atheist. And there's an interesting quote from the Vedic literatures. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Daivata Samitvain Aiva Viksheta Sapashandi Vavetruvam. And this is a quote that actually describes a particular type of Pashandi. Pashanda is the process. Pashandi is the person, just like you have yoga and yogi. You understand? So Pashanda, anyway. So this verse What does this verse say? It says, those who consider others, specifically in this case, it's the demigods like Brahma and Rudra, to be equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Yastu Narayanam Devam, Brahma Rudra Daivata, Samitvena Viksheta Sapashant. They are actually Prashandis. And it is actually quite a heavy word to use in Sanskrit or in Hindi. And I discovered that. How did I discover it? By making the mistake of reciting that verse in a Hindu center one time. And anybody who's been in a Hindu center or a Hindu temple, at least in America, knows that there are many deities. They sometimes have 8 or 10 different altars. And depending on who you're worshiping, you get to have your altar opened. So different communities come at different times. Like, for example, the Jain community will worship Mahavir, who is one of their avatars or whatever they call them. I forget the exact nomenclature. And they'll come at a certain time, let's say 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, and they'll open up the Jain altar for them. And the Shaivites will come at 5 o'clock, and they'll open up the altar of Lord Shiva there. And the Vaishnavites, or not even Vaishnavites, but people who like Radha and Krishna, they're not actually Vaishnavas, because probably they wouldn't go to the Hindu center if they were Vaishnavas. They'll open up the altar of Radha and Krishna. So it's like that song in the 1960s, what, you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Or like a smorgasbord. I don't know if you know what a smorgasbord is. Some of you young people don't know what that is, do you? That means it's a Swedish word. That means you go to a restaurant and there's a whole table there. You get to pick out whatever you want on the table and eat it. That's a smorgasbord. So it's not an Italian restaurant. It's not an American restaurant. It's just like whatever you want. So in the same way, they have a smorgasbord of deities. And generally the pujari there, they usually have one pujari. He'll say, which god do you want? Or the gods. Have you come here to see the gods? And so one time I was giving a lecture, and I learned my lesson very quickly, and I called the people there Prashandis. I said, if you consider that all these deities are equal, and they're all the gods, you're all Prashandis. And I think that was the last time I got invited back to that center. My friend Thakur Topiwala invited me to the Charlotte Center. And from then on, whenever I came to Charlotte, my friend Topiwala would say, just don't mention that verse anymore. So Yastu Narayanam Devam, Pramarudradi Daivata Samitveneva Viksheta Sapashandi Bhavetruvam. So that gives you an idea of the heaviness of this particular word. It means, like in India, you have these words that are extremely heavy that we don't even take as heavy in America, like, what is that word? Rascal. Like if I were to say to Ishwara Chaitanya, you're a rascal. He'd say, oh, isn't that cute? He wouldn't say that. Well, he's Indian anyway. He's indoctrinated. But if I say to a normal American, if I would say to Braja Leela, you're a rascal, so you think, oh, isn't cute? It's an affectionate term, isn't it? It's like, you're a rascal. But in India, it means something really heavy. It was like slapping someone in the face. And, just like I told this story one time before that. One time we went to this Braswala in Navadweep. It's across the river from Mayapur. And I was with someone, and he said to the owner of the brass shop, Barshanalaya was the name of the brass shop. He said, my spiritual master said you're a rascal. And he got so angry. We ran away, of course, very quickly, because in Bengal, if you insult someone, you got a riot on your hands. It's really dangerous. So he became so angry that night we were sitting with Srila Prabhupada in his room, and he came in, he stormed into the room in the middle of the darshan, and he said to Prabhupada, not pointing to me, because I wasn't the one who called him a rascal, he said, "Your disciple called me a rascal and a cheater." I was extremely nervous. You know, what was Prabhupada going to do? And Prabhupada, just like with his transcendental energy, his love of Krishna, his bhakti shakti, he said to the man, "That's all right, just sit down." And the man sat down. And he went through the rest of the darshan, and he was actually happy. But don't you try that. You will not have the potency to do that. So anyway, so this Bhashandi means something very heavy in India. So in this verse, Bhashanda means Bhashanda Shastra. Shastra, of course, in this particular context means books. That means atheistic books. And just like in America, we have so many of these atheists, of course. I think in the UK, they probably have more atheists than we do, isn't it? Somehow or other, the most famous atheists seem to come from the UK. I'm not going to mention names. And they have books. They've written many books about God in the sense of trying to dissuade people from worshiping God. Can you imagine that? And I'm just thinking, why are they so dedicated to God? Or, yeah. You can turn the volume. Hare Krishna. Okay, you got to notice. So I'm thinking, why are they so dedicated to God? And I said, I'm thinking that they're more dedicated than I am. You know, they're thinking of God much more, isn't it? These atheists are thinking of, is that good enough? The atheists are thinking of God much more than me, because they're writing books. I haven't written too many books about God. I've written books about empathy, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But anyway, and therefore you have Prabhupada, who in many of his discussions and classes denigrates atheist scientists or atheistic scientists. And he dedicates a lot of his energy. And also he allocated immense amounts of money, in those days it was immense amount, to the Bhaktivedanta Institute, which was the scientific branch of the Krishna consciousness movement, in order to show scientifically that life comes from life. Because that's actually the main point the scientists are trying to make. Now, if you just like drill down with all their different scientific theories and everything like that, they're trying to make the point that life comes from matter, that consciousness is an epiphenomena. That's a fancy word. You know, in other words, consciousness comes from a combination of matter. And so Prabhupada understood their actual point. In spite of all these theories they come out with, the theories about the creation of the universe, you know, the Big Bang or steady state or whatever theory they come out, or theories about the origin of life, or Darwin with his theories of survival of the fittest. I think the U.S. government is trying to impose that now on people with the coronavirus. But anyway, whatever theories that people come out with, the ultimate point they're making is that everything comes about by chance or by some, chance, that's it, a combination of material ingredients. Of course, they don't say where the material ingredients come from. So anyway, so this is what is meant by Bhashanda Shastra. I mean, books about atheism or books that describe that there are many gods. Of course, if you say there are many gods, that means there's no god. So the fireflies replace the sparkling planets and stars as atheistic scriptures become prominent in Kali Yuga. This verse also uses a negative example. And Jiva Goswami says, "The fireflies shone. The planets did not shine because of the darkness. The scriptures of the atheists, not the Vedas, are famous in Kali Yuga because of sin." Wow. And finally, Sanatana Goswami, "The fireflies shone. The planets did not shine because of the darkness. The scriptures of the atheists, not the Vedas, are famous in Kali Yuga because of sin. Okay, so there's several points here. One point is actually, what is Kali Yuga? Of course, in the Vedic literatures, those of you who are new to Krishna consciousness need to hear this. In the Vedic literatures, it describes that there are four yugas. Yugas means cycles of time or time segments in the world. You have the Satya Yuga, the Dwapara Yuga. Satya, sometimes Dwapara is second. Actually, that means second. And Treta and Kali. But in this particular cycle, you have the Treta Yuga that appears before the Dwapara Yuga, which is interesting because Dwapara refers to two and Treta refers to three. So the cycles are sort of reversed between the Dwapara and the Treta Yuga. So in any case, in the Satya Yuga, you have a predominance of goodness. And there's so many Paramahamsas there, means topmost spiritual personalities. And in the next yuga, you have a diminishing of goodness. And the what becomes prominent in the next yuga as far as religious practices are concerned are opulent sacrifices. And then in the next yuga, which for us is the Dwapara Yuga, that's the third yuga in this particular cycle, then you have opulent deity worship as the predominant sacrificial or religious activity. And in the Kali Yuga, which is described in the Bhagavatam, and we're going to read this verse in the future, Kalo Doshanad Hey Rajan, which is an ocean of quarrel. The only thing that actually works as far as religious principles are concerned is the chanting of the Lord's holy names. So this is an interesting verse. Kalo Doshanade Rajan Ashjeko Mahadguna Akirtanada Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramvajet. So in spite of this Kali Yuga being an ocean of difficulty, of quarrel, and this quarrel or difficulty is caused by people who are not following the regulative principles. You know, during our initiation yesterday, we were talking about the regulative principles, why we follow them, because if we don't follow them, our consciousness goes down to the lower modes of nature. If we don't follow them, then we accumulate vikarma or reactions to sinful activities, or we execute sinful activities. Anyway, so these four principles of irreligiosity, or four breaking of the regulated principles, are what causes Kali to fully manifest. And that's brought out in the Bhagavatam in the story of Parikshit Maharaj, who is a great king descendant of the Pandavas. And Parikshit Maharaj was accosting the personality of Kali, because each and every yuga has a particular personality who, let us say, guides that yuga. It's interesting. So like you have the personality of Satya Yuga, Satya, that's what their name, Dwarpa, and then finally you have Kali. And so these personalities, they're actually demigods. And they have a specific, this is mentioned in the Mahabharata, they have a specific duty to actually manifest the qualities of that particular age. Quite interesting. And so Dwarpa and Kali are a little challenged individual. Of course, Kali is much more challenged. And sometimes, even in the previous age, they will manifest themselves in different ways. Because in each and every age, you have also four divisions. Let me explain what I mean. So we're talking about Satya, Treta, Dwarpa, and Kali, the four ages. But within each and every one of those ages, you have a Satya, Treta, Dwarpa, and Kali divisions. You have four divisions in each and every age. So in other words, in the beginning of Satya Yuga, it's Satya, Satya. In the second part of Satya Yuga, it's Treta Satya. Third part, it's Dwarpa Satya. And the fourth part, it's Kali Satya. Just like if you ever studied astrology in the different phases of your life, you know, you're going through a Rahu period, a Saturn-Rahu period, a Jupiter-Rahu period, isn't it? And then you have subdivisions and sub-subdivisions in each one of those periods in astrology. Anyway, so in the age, it's like that. So Kali Yuga manifests itself to a certain extent even before Kali Yuga manifests itself in the Dwarpa Yuga. And how did that happen? Well, Kali and Dwarpa, they decided to appear together at the end of the Dwarpa Yuga as Shakuni and Duryodhana. That's described in the Mahabharata. And they created all this strife that ultimately culminated in the Mahabharata war with millions of people being killed. So that is their, anyway, that's their mood. So that's Shakuni. Those of you who don't know who Shakuni is, he was Uncle Shakuni. He was the brother of Gandhari. Anyway, read the Mahabharata. It's an interesting story. So they created, they actually stirred up this conflict, especially Shakuni and Duryodhana. And then in the Kali Yuga, Kali becomes fully manifest, but in the first part of the Kali Yuga, you have, it's the Satya part of the Kali Yuga. And that's the part we're in right now. And especially after 4,500 years of when Kali Yuga began. And you may say, you know, how do you know all these dates, 4,500 years? Well, it's stated in the Shastras, these different dates. Not only is it stated in the Shastras, but scientists have analyzed the descriptions of the different astronomical phenomena described in the Shastras. Nothing. That's weird. Anyway, thank you for reminding me. Okay, so we're in the... someone sent a message or something? Oh, the red thing, yeah. I don't know, that happened yesterday too. So we're within the golden age of Kali, the beginning of the golden age of Kali, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared approximately 500 years ago. And he taught this chanting of the Lord's holy names. Therefore, you have this verse in the Bhagavatam, Kalo Doshanadhe Rajan, Ashyeku Mahad Guna, Kirtanadeva Krishnasya, Mukta Sangha Parambajet. That in this age of Kali, which is an ocean of difficulty, an ocean of quarrels, there is one good quality. And this one good quality compensates, or more than compensates, for all the bad qualities in Kali Yuga. And that's the chanting of the Lord's holy names. If one simply chants the Lord's holy names, Mukta Sangha Parambajet, one can get liberated. So getting back to the point about the four regulated principles, we were telling the story of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was coming across the personality of Kali. As we mentioned before, each and every age has a different personality who manifests his presence. So this personality of Kali was doing something which is becoming more prominent in Kali Yuga. He was torturing a bull and a cow. He was cutting the bull's legs off. And the bull was standing on, somehow or other, the bull was standing on one leg. And the cow was being tortured too by Kali. And Parikshit Maharaj came across this horrendous scene. And he first of all asked the bull, who has done this to you? And the bull gave a more spiritual answer, understanding that this was Krishna's plan. And but Parikshit Maharaj understood that Kali was responsible, this personality of the age who had manifested himself. And so what happened at that juncture is Parikshit Maharaj got ready to kill him. Now, one may say, why should you kill Kali? I mean, he didn't have any guns on him or anything. Of course, we're not in favor of police killing people unarmed or people being harassed by the police. But Kali was responsible for so many horrendous acts. So therefore, keep getting messages. He's asking for a Zoom link, not now. So Kali was responsible for so many horrendous acts. So Parikshit Maharaj, in order to protect the citizens, was getting ready to kill him. But Kali surrendered to Parikshit Maharaj and said, please give me shelter. And the description in the Vedic literatures is that if someone asks for shelter, even if they're a guilty rascal, they have to be forgiven, but at least the other people have to be protected from that person. So Kali said, please give me shelter. And Parikshit Maharaj said, all right, I will not I will not kill you. However, you have to leave my kingdom. And so Kali said, your kingdom is everywhere. Because previously, Parikshit Maharaj actually was in charge of the whole world. So there was nowhere for Kali to go. So Kali said, there's nowhere for me to go. You've got to give me shelter. And then Parikshit Maharaj said, all right, you can go wherever there is intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and meat eating. And Kali said, uh-oh, there's none of that going on in your kingdom. Because that's actually a good king or a leader, one who makes sure that there's no improper activities going on in their kingdom. Of course, in Kali Yuga, it's almost impossible for a leader to do that. For example, in India, you have a, not a king, but you have a prime minister, Modi, who wanted to outlaw the slaughter of cows in India. And he's tried his best, especially he's been able to prevent cows being transported from one state to another. But he's tried his best to do that, but you know, he's not going to be successful because in Kali Yuga, just doesn't work like that. And also, democracy doesn't work like that either. The ultimate instance, one would need someone with absolute power, like the king. But in Kali Yuga, absolute power corrupts absolutely. So you can't really have someone with absolute power. You need someone with checks and balances. So it's impossible to basically get everybody to stop eating meat and doing horrible things. However, there was a story in the times of Srinivasacharya where one king, his name was King Virhamvir, made it illegal for anyone not to be a devotee in his kingdom. And he kicked everybody else out. But that's another story. So anyway, Kali was told, you have these four places to reside in. And Kali said, that's not going on anywhere in your kingdom. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how that would be? There would be no illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling in the whole world. It's pretty amazing. I mean, I was just reading an article written by one university student who was lamenting because the bars were closed. She was saying that, you know, I like the university or campus life, but the problem right now is that I wanted to go to the bars every night and enjoy. So this is, I mean, this is extremely degraded. Even when I went to the university, it wasn't that degraded. Half of us didn't drink. So Kali said, there's none of that going on in your kingdom, so I have no shelter anywhere. And then Parikshit Maharaj said, all right, you can go wherever there is gold being hoarded for sense gratification. And so Kali agreed to do that. So in other words, whenever we find these four principles being broken, forget about gold right now because I'm not going to talk about that. But wherever we find these four principles being broken, Kali actually manifests himself or his energy in that particular location. And you could feel the vibration in the air, the modes of nature. One of the areas in my GBC zone is the area of New Orleans, of course, New Orleans and New Taliban. And when you go to New Orleans, which is basically one of the headquarters of Kali, not our temple, of course, then you can actually feel it in the French Quarter, especially. You can actually feel the mood, the vibration, the heaviness of Kali there. So to avoid being influenced by Kali, we have to keep good association and give up bad association. So any questions or comments? We have about a minute left. Chunk. Yeah.
Well, what was that singular point? Where did it come from?
Yeah, now they don't talk about a chunk. They talk about, you know, the singularity. The
singularity, yeah.
That it just started from that. They say everything started from nothing, basically. Not even a chunk. Anyway, there's different theories about the scientists have, and they're all based on the underlying principle that there's no God, that everything came about simply by the interaction of whatever. They can't even say what it came about because when everything was just compacted in singularity, the laws of physics as we know them didn't apply. So anyway, on that happy note,